Welcome to episode 84 of Artist Empowerment Radio. This is Bob Baker, your host. So let me ask you, would you like to know about how to get music endorsements and sponsorships? Would you like to hear from a guy who created an instructional guitar video that has nearly 500,000 views on YouTube? Maybe you'd like to expand your teaching practice and make a little bit more money from showing others how to play an instrument or sing. Well, we're going to cover that and more in this two-part interview with Adrian Galish. He's a LA-based guitar player, and in fact, he was just featured in Guitar Player magazine in the February 2014 issue. B.B. King was on the cover of that, and Adrian has a lot of great information to share about how to build a music career using multiple streams of income. He performs, he records, he teaches. So I think you really enjoyed this part one of a two-part interview with Adrian. Just to remind you, this if you're subscribing to this podcast in iTunes or some other podcatcher, I am now also feeding in a new podcast called Music Marketing Monday that I'm co-host with Billy Grizak. So don't be confused, because you'll be getting both of them through this feed. Sometimes it'll be Artist Empowerment Radio every week or about Monday. You'll get Music Marketing Monday, as long as I stay on top of things. So don't be confused. It's all good stuff. Soak it up, and most importantly, put it to use in your own life. Okay, here's that interview with Adrian right on the other side of this little musical ditty. So I am on Skype right now with Adrian Galish. He is a musician from the Los Angeles area. How are you doing, Adrian?
I'm doing great. How about you, Bob?
I'm doing fantastic. You know, it's really cool to reconnect with you, because we first met, I think, a couple of years ago in the L.A. area, actually in Santa Monica. Often in my trips to L.A., I like to have these meetups. There's a little bar or a restaurant called the Mackay. It's like a block down from the Santa Monica Pier. It seems like it's a cool place to invite people to come by. You know, I never know who's going to show up, and you were one of several musicians who came by, and so it was really cool to meet you.
Very good to meet you too.
Back then, and it was really neat, because I know you were admitted to being a big fan of Artist Empowerment Radio podcast. So it's really cool for me to have you on the show and be sharing some of your wisdom. So you are your place in the music world in LA is you're known as a guitar player, right? You're kind of a rock guy.
Yeah, that's kind of my bag. I've been, a solo artist, for probably over 15 years, but, I get work teaching guitar, doing guitar session work, guitar clinics, anything guitar is kind of my bag. So,
and you're a rock guy, and I guess, we have, similar roots. You know, I grew up listening to classic rock of the 70s, you know, and I think a lot of your stuff kind of harkens back. Aren't you influenced by some of those artists from back in the day?
Yeah, I grew up listening to, I was probably 10 years too late, but yeah, listening to, you know, Deep Purple and the Scorpions and Van Halen and UFO and stuff like that. So I'm kind of, you know, into that 70s guitarist thing. Guys like Richie Blackmore, Michael Schenker, Uli John Roth. Folks of that nature. But I listen to everything. You know, I try to tell people, including my students, you know, that it helps to be a well-listened, you know, musician, that can appreciate all kinds of music.
Yeah, cool. Now I know, the reason I know you reached out to me to do this, which I was glad that you did. I guess you got a couple of things going on. I think you have a new album that came out. Plus, you were just featured in the February 2014 issue of Guitar Player magazine, right?
Yeah.
It's got to be quite an honor, right?
Yeah, that was awesome. I couldn't believe it. When I started playing guitar when I was about 11 or 12, I just read all those magazines, those guitar magazines. My parents can attest to having probably shelves and shelves of Guitar Player magazine, you know, probably still back in my parents' house. So it was very cool to be finally featured in there.
And it was a regular column called Now Hear This, right?
Yeah.
It features emerging artists. Is that what it is?
Yep. Yeah. So they usually pick somebody that they think you should know. Maybe, you know, undiscovered artists or some emerging artists. I think they even had another guy in the same issue across the page from me who I was pretty honored to be with him. He was some, you know, classic guitarist in some classic band, you know. So it's, you know, people that just might not be on everybody's radar yet.
Yeah. Now, I have to ask, because whenever these things come about, I want to know the story behind it. Did they approach you, or did you approach them? What led to that?
With the release of my album, I had kind of, you know, knew I was going to send out a bunch of press kits and, you know, be begging and pleading for press coverage. And, of course, it's a bit easier to get online reviews and press coverage. But I sent their editor at Guitar Player Magazine my press kit and CD, you know, asking for a review. It just so happened that back in January, there was the NAMM convention happening here. And I was helping a couple companies coordinate a concert, and we were looking for sponsorship. And as you may know, it's probably always a good idea that when you are, you know, approaching others and kind of asking for favors, that you might have a favor to give in return. So I had approached Guitar Player Magazine about being a sponsor of this event, because they were going to be at the NAMM show, and it would have made sense. It was going to be a guitar night, a guitar concert with a bunch of guitar amp, guitar string, you know, sponsors, and I thought it would be a great thing. So that kind of is what started our conversation, and we talked via email and by phone, and then after, you know, weeks of him trying to find out if Guitar Player would be able to, you know, be a sponsor, in one of our phone calls, when I found out that they couldn't become a sponsor at the last minute, I'm like, hey, did you by any chance get my CD and press kit I mailed you? I was hoping maybe you guys could do a review. And his answer, you know, much to my dismay, was, well, you know, we don't really do reviews, you know, in this magazine anymore. You know, we don't have the space for it. And, you know, sorry, but, you know. And then I'm telling you, right before both of us were about to hang up the phone, he says, well, wait a minute. I do have an empty page that I've sold, you know, advertising for. I could put you in our Now Hear This column, and that'll help me out because we go to press like in 3 days. Can I email you the questions tomorrow and have answers, you know, the same, you know, day? And of course, I'm like, heck yeah. You know? So it was just by sheer blind luck, I'm telling you, timing wise, that he had an empty page to fill. And I happened to be on the phone asking if I could get some press coverage.
Now, that's a great example of like getting exposure, or whatever, through the side door. I mean, you didn't even though you may have thought of or sent your press kit, you know, the normal editorial channels. You kind of started a relationship with someone from the magazine.
Correct.
From a different angle. Probably not even with your you know, thinking that you were going to leverage that at later, maybe. But
correct.
But that's and also it speaks to the last minute nature of the media. Now there's a lot of advice out there, and usually with print media, it is true about these lead times. You know, you hear about like with monthly magazines. Oh, you got to start contacting them 6 months out to even, you know, have a chance of getting in.
I don't find that to be as true these days. Granted, if your album comes out in December, they should probably have a copy of that album, you know, at the beginning of November. It's February like 12th or 13th or whatever it is today. And I think the March issue is already done and in the mail, you know, so,
right.
There's that. I will add though, that the editor who I spoke to, we ended up finally meeting at that convention. And of course the magazine that I was in was all over the convention. They printed up like an extra 90,000 copies, which was awesome.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I finally got to meet him and talk to him and thank him for the coverage. But I got to, you know, add to it. It's not as if he didn't know who I was by that time, meaning this is my fourth solo album. I'm known in guitar circles, you know, which is my niche market. And he said, you know, we've heard of you. We knew you were around. And when you sent me the press kit and I was coming up with my questions, you know, more than just, you know, filling a page, you know, he looked at my YouTube page, my website, and kind of, you know, Googled me and stuff like that. And what he found, he said, you know, warranted putting me in the magazine.
Cool.
So there's a bit of luck involved, but it's not as if it wasn't something that I've been working towards for the last, you know, 15, 20 years.
Yeah, well, you spent a lot of time laying the foundation, and that's another good point. I think when people initially, like a new band or either somebody's early in their career or they're starting a new project and they got to get publicity, it seems like is anybody even receiving these things? Nobody's paying attention, you know? But you sort of have to almost have to keep throwing stuff out there to get on their radars repeatedly and show that you're viable. You know, like I get emails from companies all the time. Hey, we're a new startup and we appeal to the same market. Let's have a conversation. I want to talk to you about our, you know, cross promoting. And I'm like, you know, show me that you're going to be around for a while.
Sure.
You know, it's the same way with artists too. You know, not everybody that just comes right out of the starting gate is ready for publicity. Show that you've got, you're in it for the long haul.
You know, I have some endorsements with some companies, and I remember a few years ago asking one of them about, you know, hey, you know, it would be awesome if you could put me in one of your ads. Yeah. And the guy's answer was like, you know, well, two things. He goes, Adrian, you know, we love you. But, you know, when the time is right, the time is right. And typically we'll be the ones asking you when the time is right.
Right.
So, it took me a while to understand that you got to take one step forward, you know, one foot after the other. And after a while, it all kind of adds up. And, you know, if I thought about, you know, considering myself being in Guitar Player Magazine, you know, during my last album, looking back now, honestly, I would say it just wasn't ready. It wasn't my right time. This new album sounds better, is more original, and is just on so many levels a better album than what I've done before. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm getting the attention because of just my growth as a musician and the like you said, the groundwork that I've been laying down. And when things like this happen, those articles, then those sponsorships they see that and they know that that's an opportunity for them to advertise with me in it.
Right.
So it's hard to put into words, but I think it's, you know, when the time is right, the time is right.
I couldn't help notice the way you worded that that request that you made of the endorsement guy. He goes, hey, I would like you to feature me in one of your ads. Now, and if you read my stuff, you know I'm big on the whole like turning the tables and that's not very benefit oriented, you know. And so I don't know if you've learned over the years, like how about, hey, I've got a big fan base who would really, you know, and I have a lot of guitar players that follow me who would probably love, you know, to know about you. Yeah. Your brand, and we can work together to, you know, then a different approach.
But you know, in the past, when I've been in a magazine, I've been in, you know, featured in other magazines, maybe not quite the guitar magazine as Guitar Player, but those were opportunities where the companies knew that, hey, the readers are going to be exposed to this artist of ours. We should probably do a tie-in so that they, if they like what they're reading and seeing, you know, in my article, then it makes sense that we piggyback on that and reap the benefits of, putting in your words.
Right. Now I know, a lot of musicians are ask about endorsements, and it's not something that I have a lot of intimate knowledge with, but does it help that you're in LA and a lot of the reps are there? What is it? Like, I guess we,
that doesn't. Yeah. Here's some backstory. I endorse, and I'll say it now, SIT Strings. They're a company from Akron. I endorse Brian Moore Guitars. They're from upstate New York. I endorse Morley Pedals, Effects Pedals. They're from Cary, Indiana, and Seymour Duncan Pickups, which is from Santa Barbara. And I've been endorsing them before I ever lived in LA.
Oh, wow. Because
even before I discovered your podcast and your books, I knew that I needed to provide some kind of benefit to them in order to get these endorsements. I knew back then that it would be a feather in my cap and eventually lead to some kind of relationship that would, you know, benefit me. But I got all those endorsements by simply showing them what I was doing. And back then, I was a clinician for a local rep company. I was teaching a bunch of people and gigging around. And I kind of just made it, you know, look attractive to have me on their roster. But after I had them on their roster, I totally made it my deal that, you know, I would promote them and work with them in any way I could, which was me putting together convention concerts for them, you know, on their behalf, you know, saying, hey, I would love to play in front of this international audience at these conventions. I'll put the show together if you'll be a sponsor. And of course, they're like, cool, we'll just write a check. And this guy does all the work and he lives in LA and we don't have to do anything from back here in Ohio. And then that turned into, you know, a better relationship. You know, I help them, they help me. I've actually worked for other music companies on the other side, being the artist relations guy for an amp company and a stream company. And yeah, I see some of the worst press kits and letters and some of the best ones, you know. Some people just say, yeah, can we be an endorsing artist? And then they send me, you know, a CDR that's not even in a case with a photocopied photo and, you know, barely anything. And then they don't give a follow-up phone call or whatever it is. Right. You need to put your best foot forward. It needs to look professional. If you treat your materials and your content and the way you reach out to folks in the most professional manner you can, well, we see that and we respect it. And it certainly gives us an impression that this is going to be a working relationship versus some startup band leeching, you know, off of somebody and they're not going to be around in a year.
I love the story of offering to set up a whole showcase at a convention for a, yeah, like you said, you're doing the work for them. That's not like really delivering, a great example of delivering value as opposed to, hey, I'm ready to pose for my photo for the ad, you know, and all
that. I did it three times. And, you know, just so people know, I had these endorsement deals and I don't mind saying it because I love the products. But after those concerts that I put on, well, I started getting free guitars and free strings and everything else because they just loved the service I was providing.
That's the thing. The other thing I need, I would like to, aren't there different levels of endorsement?
Correct.
Is there just one where like they'll just give you stuff? They're not giving you money, but they give you equipment.
It all kind of depends on the products we're talking about. Obviously, if it's stuff that costs less, there's a greater chance of getting something for free, but it really has to do with the level that the artist is, meaning in the market. Are they an actual signed touring group where you can expect to see your product on, you know, the band playing on the Jay Leno show or, you know, a TV special on cable or in music videos that people will actually see? Then, yeah, you're probably going to get some free stuff because that kind of exposure and that brand recognition is what they want the whole world to see. You know, it's their hope that their brand becomes a household, you know, name. Are there people out there such as myself that may not be touring the world and on TV all the time? Yeah, but, you know, I also expose their products to, you know, hundreds of students, hundreds of, you know, people through my – actually, hundreds of thousands of people through my YouTube channel and all the other avenues that I'm reaching out to people. You know, my approach is certainly more grassroots than the Rolling Stones. But there's some validity to that in this day and age.
Wow. So there's not really much cash exchanged like for tour support or anything, unless you're, this must be a pretty high level to get that.
You know what? There are artists out there, the huge, you know, artists. If you're a guitarist, then somebody like Eddie Van Halen or Joe Satriani is probably getting a cash, not cash, but, you know, a stipend for being an endorsing artist. So they probably have, you know, like their own signature guitar, which they're getting, you know, a percentage of the product sold. But usually just to have the name on the roster, there might be a few thousand dollars thrown in for kicks.
So indie artists, yeah, be lucky just to get the free stuff from them in exchange for a little extra exposure, I guess.
Yeah, but it's all about showing them, you know, how you can expose their products to your audience and that you need to show that your audience is big. Mm-hmm. Are you playing, you know, 10 times a month or is it only 10 times a year? That kind of thing.
Cool. Well, I know we have so much to talk about. I know you've even made some notes of marketing things. Let me just to kind of again give on your background. Your whole life and work revolves around music. You have your own band. Obviously, you put out the new CD. I know you said you also play with one of the Scorpions guitar players.
Yeah, the guy who used to play in the Scorpions back in the 70s is a guy named Uli John Roth, and he's kind of a legend now because back in the 70s. He sort of started the whole rock meets classical sound, which, of course, gave birth to guitarists like Yngwie Malmsteen and a slew of other people in the 80s. Mm-hmm. But between him and Ritchie Blackmore from Deep Purple, they kind of had that market cornered and were sort of the nucleus of it. So he has a pretty rabid following. It isn't huge, but people really love what he does, including myself. I grew up listening to that kind of music, and it was very cool to tour with them back in 2010 and 11. And we've done probably a number of shows here in Southern California together.
That's awesome. And yeah, play with a childhood or whatever.
I got to tell you, it's he's hands down probably in my top three or four favorite guitarists, you know, growing up and even now. Mm-hmm. And it was very weird and cool to be literally on stage looking over, playing some of your own favorite songs and going, man, really? Am I really doing this? This is too cool. Oh my God, what's my next chord?
Yeah, where am I in the song? Pinch me. You do some session work too, right? For different studios?
Yeah, you know, it's inevitable in Los Angeles that you're going to meet a bunch of people in the business. And I've got some friends that own recording studios, or their composers who have their own home studios, and they need guitar tracks. So whenever people have projects, I've got a handful of friends that will usually give me a call, and I can sit in and do, you know, clean jazz sounds, acoustic guitar, rock guitar, whatever they need. You know, they usually give me a recording ahead of time. I give it a listen. One composer that I work for, a guy named Wes Hambright, he's a great classical modern composer, and he does a lot of, you know, TV as well as modern dance composing. So his stuff is strange, and I'll have to read sheet music for that, you know. But other rock stuff's usually, they give me the song ahead of time. I show up and we start laying down tracks.
All right. That ends part one of my interview with Adrian Gollish. In part two, he'll be talking more about his YouTube videos and his teaching career and more good stuff. Hey, I want to stay in touch with you. So if you haven't done it already, please visit thebuzzfactor.com. That's thebuzzfactor.com, my long running site on the internets where I put all of my music marketing advice. There's a blog there. There's obviously this podcast feed, YouTube video clips, always posting something new. And if you go there and look in the right-hand column, you'll see a little link for something called the Music Marketing Secrets Report that I want to give to you free, along with some other goodies like how to recession-proof your music career and a couple other little surprises there. So just click on that link. I'll send you those free reports. You just enter your email address, and we'll stay in touch, and I'll let you know when I post new resources and all that good stuff. And so thanks for listening. I really appreciate you, however you're consuming this. Thanks for doing what you do in the world. Now go out there, promote yourself, share your gifts, and I'll talk to you later. It's Bob Baker saying so long for now.